Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Join us for Yimei Ratzon programming beginning Rosh Chodesh Elul with Sivan Rahav Meir on September 4th at noon Eastern. Starting Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tardi Mecha Halacha will be focusing on Ahavas Yisrael as we look to draw closer to each other and to Hashem. Slichos Night of Inspiration, Lech Kinos Ansom Gedalia. Sign up for these and other Yimei Ratzon programs at ouwomen.org/yr24. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup, and today we'll continue learning Sefer Yirmiyahu, focusing on Chapter 4. In which the opening two verses are a clear addendum to the call for tshuva in the previous chapter, and also reverberates with the word shuva. As you recall, that impassioned speech had originally been directed at the northern kingdom, Mamlechet Ephraim, who turned a deaf ear when their prophets admonished them for their faithlessness and moral failures. Echoing those Nevi'im who could not prevent the fall of the kingdom, now Yirmiyahu calls out to the remnant of the 10 tribes in the last-ditch effort. Im tashuv Yisrael neum Hashem, elai tashuv, ve'im tasir shikutzecha mipanai velo tanud, ve'nishbati chai Hashem, be'emet be'mishpat uvitzdaka, v'hidbarchu bo goyim, uvo yitalelu. Rashi would interpret this call as follows. Hashem swears, if you return to me, O Israel, you will return to your former glory. If you remove your abominations from before me, you will not wander in exile. And when you swear as Hashem lives, do so truthfully, justly and righteously, then all the nations will bless Israel and praise Israel. Rashi glosses over the shift in midst of verse 2 from second to third person. Radak, however, does not ignore this grammatical anomaly and clarifies that if Bnei Israel, long exiled among other nations, will do tshuva sincerely, they will attain serenity, shuva vanachat, stressing the double entendre of the word shuva. Then all nations will ultimately emulate them, blessing themselves as children of Hashem and praising themselves for relying on Him, the one and only God. Accordingly, the dispersion of the 10 tribes can be transformed from a total calamity to a mission to spread monotheism and morality among the various nations to which they had been scattered. Hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, the lost descendants of the 10 tribes will heed that call and fulfill the promise uttered by Yeshayahu, ובאו העובדים מארץ אשור, והנידחים בארץ מצרים, והשתחוו להשם בהר הקודש בירושלים. The lost in the land of Assyria will come along with the dispersed in Egypt, and they will bow to Hashem in the holy mountain in Jerusalem. But for now, Yirmiyahu turns to the Jews in Yehuda and Yerushalayim, in the surviving Judean kingdom, trying to avert disaster before it is too late, as a new parshia opens in verse 3 of our chapter. Ki ko amar Hashem li'ish Yehuda uli'Yerushalayim, niru lachem nir ve'al tizre'u el kotzim. Speaking to a nation intent on religious and cultural reform, and return to Yiddishkeit and Torah initiated by King Yoshiyahu, Hashem stresses the importance of removing the weeds before sowing the fields, as a metaphor for eradicating pagan practices before returning to Jewish traditions. He warns that they mustn't stop with erasing external expressions of idolatry, but must introspect and cleanse their minds and spirit from corrupt ideologies. Himolu laHashem, v'hasiru orlot levavchem, ish Yehuda v'yoshve Yerushalayim. Pen tetze ha'esh hamati, uva'ara ve'en mechabe, mipnei ro'a mal aleichem. Otherwise, my wrath will burn so that none can extinguish it because of your evil doings. In the remainder of this chapter, the visions of doom, Hashem's words, and Yirmiyahu's emotional reactions are interwoven. Hashem reveals to the prophet vivid pictures of the impending disaster, sending him to warn the populace of Mamlechet Yehuda. Sound the trumpets and have them shelter in the fortresses. Hagidu b'Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, Hashmiu v'Imru, Tik'u shofar ba'aretz, Kir'u, Mal'u, v'Imru, He'asfu v'Navoa el arei ha'mifzar. God sends Yirmiyahu to alarm the public about the coming invasion from the north that will take the leaders by surprise, leaving them shocked and floundering. Si'u nes tziona, ha'izu al tamodu, ki ra'a nochi mevi mitzafon, v'shever gadol. Ala arye misufro, ומשחית גויים נסע, יצא ממקומו, לסום ארצך לשמה, ארייך תצנה מעין יושב. Raise the signal to Zion, flee for safety without delay, for I am bringing disaster from the north, a terrible destruction. A lion has come out of his lair, a destroyer of nations has set out. He has left his place to lay waste your land. Your empty towns will lie in ruins. And then in verse 10, Yirmiyahu interjects a parenthetical response to the horrific picture unfolding before his mind's eye. Va'omar, aha, adoshem, achen hashe hasheta la'am hazeh v'Yerushalayim le'mor shalom yeh lachem. Then I said, Alas, my Lord Hashem, how you have completely deceived this people in Jerusalem by saying you will have peace, and now the sword is at our throats. But the terrible vision proceeds, and Yirmiyahu forecasts the tempest threatening the land in an attack that Hashem will use as retribution for his people's treachery. He describes the unfolding future in verse 13 and cannot hide his dismay. Hineh ka'ananim ya'ale u'chasufa malkevotav kalu min sharim susav oy lanu kishudadnu. Here he rises like the clouds, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Oh, woe to us, for we are ruined. Then, like a watchman on the ramparts, Yirmiyahu sounds the alarm in verses 14 and 16. Kapsi mira'a libech Yerushalayim, leman tevashei, עד מתי תלין בקרבך מחשבות אבונך. הזכירו לגויים, הנה השמיעו על ירושלים. נוצרים באים מארץ המרחק, ויתנו על ערי יהודה קולם. Jerusalem, wash the evil from your heart and be saved. How long will you harbor wicked thoughts? Tell this to the nations, let them hear about Jerusalem's fate. A besieging army is coming from a distant land, raising a war cry against the cities of Judea. And then again, the voice of God interrupts with admonishment in verses 17 and 18, explaining that the invading hordes are his instruments to punish a rebellious nation who has no one to blame but themselves. Kishomrei sadai hayu aleha misaviv, ki oti marata ne'um Hashem, darkech umal alech asu eile lach, zot ra'atech ki mar, ki naga ad libech. They surround her like men guarding a field, because she has rebelled against me, declares Hashem. Your own conduct and actions have brought this on you. This is your punishment. Oh, how bitter it is, how it pierces to your heart. Clearly, Hashem is not gloating over the fate of his children, whom he so loves. So then Yirmiyahu opens an anguished lament, one that foreshadows the book of Eicha, and bespeaks the agony of a nation embroiled in a merciless onslaught. He cries in pain, cramping and heartbroken, in verses 19 through 21. Me'ai, me'ai, ochila, kirot libi, homa libi lo acharish, ki kol shofar shomat nafshi, תרועת מלחמה, שבר על שבר נקרא, כי שודדה כל הארץ פתאום, שודדו אוהלי רגע יראותי. עד מתי אראה נס, אשמעה כל שופר. Oh my gut, I writhe in pain. My heart pounds within me, I cannot be still. Oh, my soul, I hear, you hear the blast of the horn, the trumpets of war. Destruction upon destruction is crying, for all the land is devastated. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, and in a moment my shelters too. For how long must I see the battle flag and hear the blare of war? His vocalized shock, his cry at the trauma, are stilled by Hashem's interrupting admonishment, as if he must explain his justice to the grieving Yirmiyahu. Ki evil ami, oti lo yadau, banim schalim hema velo nevonim, hema chachamim, hema lahara ulehetiv lo yadau. For my nation is foolish, they don't know me. They're stupid children who have no understanding. Oh, they're clever enough at doing wrong, but they have no idea how to do right. And so Yirmiyahu sees the disaster as it unfolds, describing it in verses 23 through 26. I looked at the earth, and it was empty and formless. I looked at the heavens, and there was no light. I looked at the mountains and the hills, and they trembled and shook. I looked, and all the people were gone. All the birds of the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fertile fields had become a wilderness. The towns lay in ruins, crushed by Hashem's fierce anger. And Hashem again interjects, explaining that the die has been cast. The decree can no longer be annulled, though the country and the people will not be completely eradicated. Ki koh amar Hashem, shmama tiye kol ha'aretz, v'chala lo ha'eseh. Al zot te'avel ha'aretz, v'kadru ha'shamayim mimal, al ki dibarti, zamoti v'lo nichamti, v'lo ashuv mimena. The whole land will be ruined, but I will not destroy it completely. The earth will mourn, and the heavens will be draped in black, for I have decreed it. I have plotted and have not regretted, neither will I turn back from it. Meanwhile, Yirmiyahu closes the chapter with descriptions in real time of the sights and sounds of horrific war. At the noise of charioteers and archers, the people flee in terror. They hide in the bushes and run for the mountains. All the towns have been abandoned, not a person remains. What are you doing, you who have been plundered? Why do you dress up in beautiful clothing and put on gold jewelry? Why do you brighten your eyes with mascara? Your primping will do you no good. The allies who were your lovers despise you and seek to kill you. I hear a cry like a woman in labor. Oh, the groans of a woman giving birth to her first child. It must be beautiful Jerusalem, gasping for breath and screaming aloud, "Help! I'm being murdered!" Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.